Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
This is not new news, it's kind of along the lines of my ministry the last few months. But what a shame it is that pastors like me goes out every week and present themselves before their congregations as perfect. What a shame. What a shame that pastors that go through rough patches, experience at times lows, other times highs, and they experience tension in their marriage, and maybe there was a fight in their house. What a shame that when Sunday comes, the pastor is presented as perfect. What does that communicate to people? That's not the gospel. I realize all of us are broken. We all need a comeback. But as ministers around the world present themselves as perfect, people walk out the back door because they think, I can never get there. Because no human being can. We are all broken. This week, so let me do the opposite. I had a very difficult week this week. I was very tired. I wish I prayed more, and I repented for that. I felt at times prayerless. And I had to go to God and speak to Him about it. At times, I wish I was a better father that day. I wish I spent more time with my son. There was a day or two where I wish I was more present to the word, and I felt like I failed, in a sense, that day. I came this week, I had a thought, and I spoke to God about it, and I said, how can I preach to people? We are all broken. We all need a comeback, amen? That is the truth. But what I want us to see is, so how do you make that comeback? How do you get to that place where you connect with God and make a comeback? You know, we had this story a while back, the two ladies that prepares the food, just guys, if you've heard it before, just hang on. In the one home, there's two scenarios, and guys, I want you to choose one house afterwards, okay? Option one, you're married to this person, they bring a perfect dish of food. Perfect. You enter the front door, you just smell. Oh, that's just perfect. Table is perfectly set, just the way you like it. As you arrive, everything is perfect. She brings the plate like this. That's your course. You like it, monsieur. And she walks. Perfect. Perfect plate of food. It tastes magnificent. That's your one option, option A. Option B, in this house, you enter the house and you smell, it's brandy, so I think it's kijk of ek brand weer met bel. You hold hier die huis, you besef, allemaal lewe, dis net die kombuis, al so swart. Elke pot, het is gemors. Die steak is nie well done nie, hy is... And she stands with a plate. But now as she brings the food, she does a bikkie van die pampoen wat so half, net die een kant is swart, because she's like, die ander die hond laat probeer eet, maar hy kon nie. But she's got some food there on a plate, and she brings it to you, and her heart sounds something like this. I wish this looked better. I gave it my all. I will try again tomorrow night. Are you okay with that, my love? Where do you want to eat? A, the perfect plate, which is tasty. But which meal is more delightful? Who says this line? Geef me die gebrande kos, papi. No. I bought kos is lekker for 3 minutes and say klaar. As your aunt geboek. We understand that, right? God is just like us, and we measure ourselves on these things, die pampoen en die rys, and everything must be perfect, and if it's perfect, then we're a good Christian, and God just hates that thinking. It's not where he's at. He wants to know if your heart is connected to his heart. That is what's important to him. You'll get the stake right. You'll get there. And that's where we're going to land tonight. How do you make a comeback? How do you come to that place with God where he says, this is a delightful meal because I'm in delightful company. This is amazing. That's what God has for you. A relationship like that. I'm not going to be long tonight. The heart of tonight is to land one or two ideas and let you sit on that for the week. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 7, verse 36. An unwelcome dinner guest. An unwelcome dinner guest. Title of the sermon is An Outsider's Comeback. Everyone ready? Let's do this. Verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. That's Jesus. They invited Jesus. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. There's your unwelcome guest. When she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now, if you're in a host group this week, I'm going to share a bit more on that. But if you think of a table where we eat, it'll be very awkward to get to someone's feet because your head needs to be under a table and you probably might wash the wrong foot or something. But basically how they sat down to eat would be kind of like a low table, and they would lean with their elbows on the table, and everyone at the table's feet would be pointing to the outside, almost like sitting on a lazy couch with a food in the middle. So to approach someone's feet would be quite easy. It'll look more or less like a wheel with spokes that goes out. And so his feet was open to be tended to. By the way, in John chapter 11, this woman is identified as Mary Magdalene. This is who she is. All right? Just want to read that scripture again. Standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Now that's quite awkward. Okay? I mean, dink gou daaraan. Jy eet by die hoompie. For the beginning, you sit weird. Okay? You're on the floor. Here comes a woman and she starts to cry on your feet. Okay? What do you do at that moment? I mean, do you... This is what's happening in this man's house, the Pharisee's house. And he's got that reaction that almost some of us registered right now. That's just inappropriate. And now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. This is what this man is thinking. Mary Magdalene probably sinned a public sin, which most scholars agree was prostitution. If everyone knew about it, even this Pharisee. And now he's thinking to himself, he's not saying this, he said to himself, if this man was a prophet, he would have known what sort of woman this is, and those kind of women should not touch us. Interesting. What I want you to do at this moment is just to get into this man's mind. Here he is, a Pharisee. He's got Jesus in his home. A woman comes in, a sinner, the town sinner, everyone knows her. And this man makes a few conclusions in his mind. He says, this woman is a sinner. She should not be allowed to touch Jesus. But I'm different. Because Jesus should know this woman should not be allowed in his space to touch him. This woman, he obviously doesn't know the difference between me and her. This is what's going on in this man's mind. He's placing himself above this woman. And now Jesus speaks to him and he says, Jesus answers this, his thoughts. This is not also cool. He says, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. And he tells a story. He says, a certain money lender had two debtors. Twee mensen had om geld geskuld. Okay? One owed 500 denarii and the other one 50. Now the whole tone of that part, the 500 denarii in the gospel, just means a very large amount. Okay? That's what he's trying to say. And the other one owes an amount that you could work up in 2 or 3 months. That's the idea of a scripture. But when they could not pay, both of these men could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more is the question. Now, Simon the Pharisee answered, the one, I suppose, whom he cancelled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? Jesus tells a story. He says to Simon, look at the woman, because the story I've just told is playing off before your eyes. That's what he's saying. I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Now, that's the story. These two men, one owes a lot of money and one owes a little bit. Which one will love Jesus more? The man answers rightly, the one who owes a lot of money. By implication, the story is there's one person with a lot of sin and there's one person with a little sin. What is Jesus trying to say? Is he trying to say that we should sin a lot at one stage of our lives? That we might learn to say thank you that he forgive us for all those sins. Is that what he's saying? Cannot be. God does not love sin. Cannot be. It must mean something else. Scripture interprets scripture. Now on the whole view of the Bible, that cannot be what it says, because the Bible cannot do this. So we must look deeper. What is he saying? If a young man sins and he does all these terrible things, is God is he smiling upon the sin because he knows one day he will love him a lot? No. It's not what he's saying. Let's unravel that a bit, because that is the main point of tonight. I want to talk quickly about the sin revelation. The sin revelation. Revelation beteken openbaar, om achter te kom. The divine or supernatural disclosure to humans of something relating to human existence. So iets te besef. The sin revelation. Right, Nicolene, kan ek jou kry? Jy was al baie van ons 'n model op die movies wat ons maak. En jy gou hier kom staan hier bo. Hanne, ek het jou ook nodig. Great. En Hanne kom help sommer. Ek sê hier bo op daai ding staan. All right, hier is Nicolene, stem julle saam. We're talking about the sin revelation. Nicolien, wat's jou annoyance van?
McLaren.
Okay, no one can differ with that. I mean, jy is McLaren gewees, en nou is jy?
Smith.
Jy is wie jy is, dis dit. Okay. Sing me a song.
Ja.
Okay. Almal stem saam, hier is Nicolien. Hanu, wie is Nicolien vir jou?
Sy is by die kerk en sy help altyd met die gift bags uitdeel. En sy is Hanie se vrou.
Sy is Hanie se vrou, okay. Vriendelik, plus getrou.
Ja, baie vriendelijk, baie pligsgetrou, maak altijd een grapje, altijd bereid om te help, niet te lang nie.
Okay. Annie, wie is Nicoline vir jou?
Sy is my mooie vrou.
Brei so'n bietjie uit, ek meen, verbrand sy die kos, maak sy lekker kos, wat... Ek gee jou een kans hier so.
Kom, ek stel het uit so, sy bring baie vreugde in my leven.
Sal jy sê dat sy is jou vrou, jy is lief vir haar, en dat sy is die belangrikste dame in jou leven?
Ja.
Nicoline, Hanu, sal jy sê Nicoline is die belangrikste dame in jou leven?
Nee.
Dis die rechte antwoord. Wie is die belangrikste dame in jou leven?
Mils.
Okay, Milsie. Maar is die selle, is het waar wat Hanu sê? Is het waar wat Hanu sê? Dit is waar. Is het waar wat Hanu sê? Dit is waar, maar beteken het een is verkeerd. Nee, dit is die selfde persoon. This is the same person. It's okay for them to have a different revelation of who she is. Because we're talking about a relational connection here. That's 100% fine that Honey says she's the most important person to me. And it's 100% right and proper that Honey says, no, I mean, Nicoline, I mean, sy is kosbaar, toch?
Ja, ja. It's great to my idea.
And I'm sure you'll help. I mean, if she needs help and she can't read Honey and there's a flat tire, you'll be there.
Yes.
That's not the issue, but she's not the most important person in your life, and that's okay. Do you all agree with me? Okay, you guys can sit. Nicoline, sta nog 'n bietjie. Let's put up the next slide. When you consider your sin, what do you see? If Nicoline is the main that is stand, but just to have something here, not an empty space. Let's say there's your life, your heart. Just look at Nicoline as a reflection of your own life in some sort. She's a human. When you look at your own life, at your own sin, what do you see? What do you see? Because you might see different things. Now can you sit? Think about that for a moment. Can I tell Jesus' story in another way? And he'd be okay with this. Is that okay? There was two sinners. Both sinned. Both. None of them could pay for their sins. The only way was to pay with their full lives forever away from God. Even if sin was measurable, even if we could rank sin and we could, someone, you know, if an engineer can just get to a formula to say, okay, you've got 1,000 sins and you've got 200 sins. Even if you could do that, it's that one sin is too much. You cannot pay for it. You pay with your whole life. Do you agree with me? Away from God. But there was two men. And the one looked upon his sin, and as he beheld his sin, it was a lot of sin. And he was overwhelmed by the depth of his sin, and he was overwhelmed that he knew he could never, ever, ever, ever write this before God. In fact, he was thrown down because of his sin. He was absolutely and totally devastated. And then came a Savior, Jesus, on a cross, and he said, I'll die in your place. And the man couldn't hear or understand the words because it was too much. It was too big of an impact on his life. And he asked Jesus to repeat himself. And he says, I want to take your place. If you will trust on me, you will not have to die for your sins. And the man got up and he said, I will lay down my life forever and ever and ever and ever. And there was a woman like that. And she walked into a home where people was eating. And her response was, I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to wipe it with my hair. I don't care how stinky your feet is. It's nothing compared to what I've been forgiven. And she stooped down and she tended to his feet. Who knows who had more sin, right? This man is a hypocrite. He's thinking he's better than that woman. Who knows what he did in the night? That's not the point. When he viewed his sin. And so when Jesus came along, oh, it's nice to have. Ons bid mos as ons eet. Dit's lekker. Ons almal doen dit. Oupa het dit gedoen. My dad did it. We pray when we play sport because everyone does it. But I don't really, I don't consider the Bible like food or drink. I don't really need it. Which one will love Jesus more? The one who views his sin as a devastating force in his life. Are you with me? Let's just go to that next slide. Thanks, Chris. Follow me here. Grace always overpowers sin. Okay, do you agree with me? God's grace overpowers sin. So how big is his grace in your view? How wide and how deep is the love of God in your view? I'll tell you what, it is beyond recognition. There's no, I don't even scrape a decimal of what it is. It's not possible, but in my view, I felt the devastation of my sin. I've seen what my life have done to other people, and if God comes and he overpowers and he forgives me, his grace must be big. If you disregard the multitude of your sin, you'll think grace is a small thing. Are you with me? If you are devastated by your sin, how much greater is his grace? How much deeper? How much more awesome is his patience that he would have waited for you for all those years while you've messed up and now you know it and he's come and giving you a new life? How much will you love? A lot. Ek is eintlik okay, jy weet, I'm cool and I don't really as bad as other people. I'll tell you what, you'll never love him a lot. Because you're the man with a small depth in your view. It's about how you view your sin. It might be more than mine or less, if there's an equation. It's not the point. How do you see your sin? You have to see it as absolute life-ending tragedy. Because in comes his grace. And you lay down your life. Isn't that amazing? Therefore, I tell you, her sin, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. Do you want to meet lovely people that's got grace? Those who understand how much God has forgiven them. They make the most amazing friends. You can let them down and they will love you because that's what they know they did to God for so many years. How do you view your sin? And how do you view grace? You've been forgiven a lifetime in eternity amount. Millions upon millions upon millions of years away from God in hell. That's what you have been forgiven. If you get that, you will love much. This woman at that time, Jesus only says, now your sins are forgiven. She's done nothing for him up to this stage. She's not preached the gospel. She's not doing a lot of things except stuff that she should not be doing. But as she shifts her heart, wat se koers soek jy? Die perfekte koers, maar die hart is uit. I'm telling you, Christ is into this meal. She gets there all burned up. Everything is a mess. The only thing that has come to terms with Christ is her heart. I'll wash your feet. It's the only thing I know how to do right now. I don't know the gospel. I don't know the Old Testament. No one's ever taught me. But I'm going to wash this feet. One thing. I've been forgiven much. My heart. And he embraces it. He says, your sins are forgiven. I just want to make a point. I want to go back. Slide number 8, please, Chris. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? And I've got an apology to make to everyone. And I'll make it on the DVD as well. These men represent the temple leaders at that time. These are the men that represent God. The sinner comes in, they want to push her out. Jesus looks at the woman, but he speaks to Simon. He says, look at this woman. What is he saying? What is he trying to say? He's saying the following, that church institutions often can only see a person's sin. But Jesus sees the person. And he's saying to them, look at her, look at the person, look past the sin. And he navigates his way through her past, through her sin, and he gets to the heart of who she is. And she says, you are forgiven. And here's my apology. I want to apologize on behalf of any church or any person that when you came there and you were broken and you needed them to be there for you, that you were pushed away. I'm sorry for that. Because it should not happen. He would not do it. The other thing I'm incredibly sorry for is that it will happen in this church also. Because we cannot get it right also. And I'm sorry for that. Forgive me and forgive us as leaders for that. As we are growing to become more like Christ, our heart is that we get it right, everything, but we don't. But if you have the grace to grant forgiveness to that hurt, because it's keeping you away from community, you will change and experience God like you have never experienced before. And you can make a difference in this regard. You can be someone that welcomes a sinner and introduces him to the Savior. You can be a part of a church that becomes clean by bringing your prayers and your hands into God's house and saying, I want to help this church or wherever God plants you to be just like Jesus. Are you with me, everyone? He loves the broken. He loves them. And there, slide number 14, thanks Chris, verse 49, there's your church, there's your religious institution. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who forgives sins? Not willing to grant this woman a comeback. And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Isn't that amazing? And we're finishing up. Very next verse, Luke 8 verse 1, she makes a comeback. Check this out. Soon afterwards, He went on through the cities and the villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him and also some of the women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. What a comeback. She's a town's prostitute. On her knees, she comes into a place where Jesus is eating. She doesn't know whether those men are going to kill her, stone her, or what. She cries. Her heart moves. And Jesus says, I can do that. I can do that heart. I can take that heart and we can go places. And she goes with him. And as he preaches and as he does amazing things, she and some of the other women make sure that they can do it. They care for them. They support them. I don't know whatever they did, but they were there to make sure that we can be here today. Because Jesus preached the gospel. And she helped. Isn't that amazing? What about you? Are you someone... Maybe you're an outsider. Maybe you're really an outsider. Maybe in your view, at least, you're one. I don't know how you see yourself. But let me tell you what. Even if people have labeled you and called you stuff, Jesus does not agree with that. All you have to do is move your heart. And he will give you a comeback. And he will put you on his team and you will do amazing things with the life God has given you. Amen? Let's stand up tonight. I want you for a moment just to close your eyes. Just breathe a nice deep breath and just ask yourself, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you in your heart? In the Bible, there's this very cool verse that says, my sheep hears my voice. Beyond the Facebook notifications and the crazy WhatsApp groups and all the thoughts and worries and your budget and the work and everything, if for a moment everything can be off the table and you can find yourself only in this moment, I will tell you, you will hear him whispering in your heart. Take a deep breath and leave everything else behind. What is he saying to you? You are welcome in this place, Lord. You are so welcome. You're so welcome. And even if people have labeled you an outsider, that's not valid with God. This is what he understands. There's a heart that wants to be with him, and there's a heart that does not want to be with him. That's all that matters to him. Whether you drive a rusty old car, whether you don't have enough money on your car to put in petrol, that might mean something to people. It means nothing with God. He only wants to know. If you look at your life, do you want him there? That's all that matters. It's all that you need to make a comeback. Isn't that amazing? And all the world, of all the people that's here, all the big companies, everything that's happening around the world, and all the media, and all these things. There's only 2 groups of people on this earth. Those whose hearts long to be with Jesus, and those who want to walk alone. That's all. And it's essentially the only thing that matters. And so I want to make an invitation tonight, and there's people here that will pray with you, and we do that every Sunday. But I want to ask you, if you want to make a comeback in your heart, that you do that tonight. That's my prayer for you. After all these words, all the scriptures, all the ideas, this is what it comes down to. Do you want to lower your heart the way Mary Magdalene lowered her heart and tended to the feet of Jesus? It's all that matters. And I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up as high as you can. All right? If that is you tonight, if you want to lower your heart before Christ and give it to Him, I want to count to three, and then I want hands as high as possible if that is you. 1, 2, and 3. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for all those hands. There's a lot of hands going up. Keep it very high. Don't be shy. Keep your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. We're going to meet you where you're at. I want to ask my facilitators to go to the sides, please. All my small group leaders, there's a lot of people. Split up and go to the sides. All I want you to do, maybe some in the aisle, please. Someone is going to pray with you. Keep your hand up very high. Don't be shy. Someone is going to pray with each one of you. What I want you to do now is just walk out to the side. Just walk out to the side and someone's going to meet you there. 1, 2, 3. Let's do it. Just walk out. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Or in the aisle. Great. Awesome. There's someone there. Cool. If you didn't put up your hand and you also want to pray, also welcome to go. I want to pray a prayer that I want all of us to pray together. All of us. Can we do that? Lord Jesus, I stand before you today. And if I think of my life, my sins, I realized how big it is. My sin scares me. I don't want to play with that. How great is your grace as it comes over my sin and beats my sin into submission. You are so much greater. I've been forgiven a lot. Here's my heart. If you were here, I would wash your feet with my tears. These guys in the middle to do is just take a seat, and if you can pray for anyone you know, anyone or for yourself, let's just take 3 to 5 minutes and just pray to God. Pray for someone else, pray for yourself, and let's give the people on the outside time to pray together. You can stand even on the outside of a building if you want to, but before we rush to the back, let's just be present with God for a few minutes. I want to give you some time. You can pray with another person if you're here with your husband or wife. Pray for your kids, pray for your parents, whatever you feel.